This episode is brought to you by Entrust Data Card, now offering a webinar series on creating more secure online interactions with your citizens while broadening the range of services that you can offer using strong identity authentication and digital signing technologies. Learn more at entrustdatacard.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. I am excited today to welcome our chair of the board, the executive director of the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles, Whitney Brewster. Whitney, welcome to your first time on the AnvaCast.
Hi, Ian. It's great to be on the AnvaCast. Thanks for the invite.
Well, we're excited to have you, especially right now as you prepare to complete your tour as the chair of our board of directors. And I think what can best be described as an unconventional year.
That it has been. I was able to do a little bit of visiting the different regions at the beginning of the year and even back in the fall, but certainly once COVID-19 hit, plans needed to adapt a little bit to make sure that we can continue on with doing the regional conferences, the different meetings in a way that is much safer for our membership. So yeah, it has been a bit of a change, but certainly it's been a very rewarding year.
So take me back though. Let's bifurcate that part of your year as chair. Before the pandemic hit, you had the opportunity to visit some of the in-person meetings of the different regions. You had the opportunity to preside over the January board meeting in person. Tell me how that experience felt, what you learned, what you were seeing firsthand that sometimes only a chair of the board gets to see by interacting with those different regions in that way.
You know, what really struck me about being able to participate in the different regional meetings was that a lot of the conversations that we have are so similar. Just the issues, the way in which we talk about the organization of the region. So many of those discussions are very, very similar, but certainly with different twists depending on the region. It's certainly not exactly the same, and that's one of the fun things about being able to go to the different regions and participate in those meetings is that you do get a better flavor for the region. And for instance, I was able to attend my first Region 3 conference in October, and I just found that very, very fascinating. Certainly, Region 3 has a conference just like the rest of the regions, but it's different in that it's scaled down, but focuses still very much on the essence of what ANVA is so good at, which is bringing people together and talking about good ideas and things that we can share and collaborate on. And so I just found that to be very, very, very helpful just to see how the different regions, even though a lot of the conversations are very similar, the way in which they're approached are different.
Mm. So. That engagement, I've noticed, has been one of your common themes in many of your remarks and presentations. You have held up the value of the members itself and finding that the value of your experience and the value of ANVA is very much the member connectivity that ANVA facilitates. So how have you seen that shifted as we've moved into this time of COVID-19 and managing things differently in the pandemic? How has your role as chair and what you've observed in member connectivity shifted in that time?
Well, I think it has shifted in the how. how we connect. You know, normally, obviously, we would be having conferences, you know, through this summer months here. We would be having a conference in Austin for the international conference. We have been able to shift that connection to a virtual connection, but certainly extensive opportunities for membership connection nonetheless. And I do want to just make sure that I do mention to those that are listening how appreciative I am for the AMBA staff for being able to unravel those conferences and develop new ways to interact with the membership and having forums for the jurisdictions, the associate members to be able to participate. The series of webinars that have occurred, you know, with specialized topics for discussion, the weekly COVID calls for administrators to talk through the issues that the different jurisdictions are facing, town halls, and certainly still having the membership meetings despite not being able to physically be together. I just very much appreciate the AMVA staff for still providing those venues for discussion. And you know, I will always tout the importance of the membership's engagement. That is where the strength of this organization lies. I just think back to when I first started as an administrator for the DMV in the state of Alaska, and I remember the outreach from George Valverde, the director for California, who reached out to me and said, "Hey, AMVA's here to help, and this is how you can participate." And from that moment, engaging with AMVA, I can't tell you the value really in words it has been to me. Certainly, has helped me do my job better. It has provided me with lasting relationships and friendships, colleagues and associate members on which to call on if I need help. And I think COVID-19 has just really highlighted how important it is for us to all be engaged, because I mean, we're seeing things that we've never seen before. And mm-hmm. so having a community to talk through those issues with, it's an incredible resource, and one that I am so grateful for as an administrator myself.
So Whitney, you mentioned Alaska, and I want to go back to that just a little bit. You have a unique distinction in being one of the very few individuals who have led motor vehicle agencies in more than one jurisdiction. However, I know that you are a native Texan. You weren't born in Texas, but you were certainly raised in the Houston area. So how does someone who is raised in the hot, humid days of Houston find themselves in Alaska of all places?
Well, I can tell you right now, with the heat wave we have going on in Texas right now, I do long for summer in Alaska. So I graduated from college from Brigham Young University, and I felt the need to explore, and I went up to Alaska, not knowing anyone, not having a job.
Oh wow!
How'd
you choose it then? If you didn't even know anybody, you want to adventure? Do you throw a dart at a map and say, "Okay, Alaska, it is"?
I was always fascinated with what Alaska had to offer, the beauty of Alaska. You know, Utah have you know, having gone to college there, I was able to really explore Utah and the beauty of the outdoors of Utah. And it just, it just seemed like the ultimate place to explore. And I went up there again, not knowing anyone. My parents thought that, you know, they had done something wrong. Like I'm trying to go as far away from them as possible before being in another country. But, you know, it presented an incredible opportunity for me. And I fell in love with the state. I was thinking that I would just go up for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I stayed for 13 years. And just such beautiful such a beautiful environment, such resourceful, hardworking people, down to earth. I just fell in love with it and was presented with so many opportunities. You know, I started as an intern for the legislature, and then was offered a permanent position, and then worked for the lieutenant governor for a little while doing constituent work before I moved into the deputy. The deputy executive role. And then I was appointed as the elections director and I did that for a couple of years before the opportunity at the DMV opened up. And I applied for the position, and I applied because I saw it as an opportunity to continue to be able to serve. That's what I love about being able to work in government, is the opportunity to serve the public. And it was just another opportunity to be able to serve the public on a wide scale, much like elections, but with DMV work. And it's there. Obviously, that's how I learned of AMFA when I became the director of Alaska. And I served a little bit on the Region 4 board. I love Region 4. So I was able to serve there for a little bit before the position opened up in Texas. And it was at that time a new agency created by the legislature. It seemed like a fascinating opportunity to build a new agency doing DMV work in the state that had given so much to me. It seemed like an awesome opportunity, and it has been. And you know, DMV has a way of getting in your blood, and I have really, really loved my career at the DMV, and certainly the wonderful relationships that I've developed along the way. So rewarding.
So was public service always the plan? I mean, you talked about going to Alaska, not knowing anyone for the sake of adventure. Was in the back of your mind a trajectory of government service and public work, or was that more of an opportunity that found itself while you were there?
No, actually, I had always been interested in the public sector, in doing public work. You know, at a very young age, was interested in politics and public service. And as I got older, I gravitated to the public service aspect of government work, and just the incredible opportunity there is to serve the public on such a wide scale. It's an awesome responsibility and an incredible honor to be able to impact so widespread, you know, the people that we get to serve in our respective states and jurisdictions. So it has always been a keen interest of mine ever since childhood. I wouldn't say I ever said, I'm going to be the DMV director one day. that's not really how that worked, but I was always interested in how can I help? How can I help government, better serve?
So how did leading the agency in Alaska, prepare you and compare to then that shift going to Texas, two enormous states with incredible geographic breadth and depth and diversity. They certainly have that in common. But beyond that, how did one compare and prepare you for the other?
I think that's a great question. I am so grateful for the opportunity to serve as the DMV director for Alaska. I tell you, I learned so much in that role. Certainly, I learned the mechanics of what we do. In Alaska, the DMV has both the motor vehicle titling and registration side combined with driver licensing. And what was really interesting about that position is that, you know, providing service to people in such a remote way across the state in areas that are not connected to the road, to the road system, you know, the only way in and out is by plane. You know, you have to get real resourceful really fast on providing services when things don't quite work out. How do you make sure, you know, when you've got situations of business continuity, what do you do to continue to provide those services? So when I talked earlier during the podcast about resourcefulness of Alaskans, that to me was incredibly helpful to learn in my career, that you've got to come up with different ways of providing services, and one size does not always fit all. And so how to continue those services when you are spread out so geographically with such diversity across the state. Mm-hmm. That was remarkably helpful for me when I came into my role at the Texas DMV.
And in Texas, it is only the vehicle registration and titling aspect, the driver license aspects. It's in another state agency in Texas. Do you miss it at all? Do you miss driver licensing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how you don't. It is such a critical aspect of what DMVs do across North America. We all know how important a driver license is to someone in terms of their livelihood, of their ability to move. That establishment of identity. And so it is an incredible challenge, but such a vital service to people's lives, mm-hmm. To be able to live their lives. They have to have that. And, to be able to try to find ways in which we can help people get those services, get them in a way that is convenient yet secure, is a remarkable challenge, and one that is so rewarding. So yes, I do. But I'll tell you, the DMV in the state of Texas has a lot of different functions too that have been really, really fascinating to me that we didn't do in Alaska. For instance, we oversee all of the oversized, overweight permitting in the state of Texas. Hmm. We oversee the dealer licensing, new and used salvage, mm-hmm. Dealers. And so, it's certainly kept me on my toes in terms of learning different aspects of how DMVs influence the economies of our state, the livelihoods of those that we regulate, and the ability of customers to just be able to live their lives, comply with laws, and go about their daily lives. And we have such a critical component of that that being able to see the different ways in which we influence that has been really, really interesting to me coming into the Texas environment.
Absolutely.
And certainly it's the numbers are vastly different. Mm-hmm. In Alaska, like I said, it really helped me learn the mechanics of titling, registration, driver licensing, and then moving to Texas, you know, with 25 million registered vehicles. It's on a much larger scale.
Right. The magnitude of the volume.
Yes, the volume.
Absolutely. So I want to shift back, though, to, you know, we started the conversation about your year as chair and what you've observed and learned and been a part of. And even though it's a 1 year term as chair that's coming to an end, it's the culmination of multiple years being on the AMVA board of directors and serving on the executive committee. So a lot of folks observe the board from a distance and watch how it leads the organization. Give some sense to those who are listening that haven't sat on the board or haven't sat on the executive committee, what that journey has been like the past 4 or 5 years being part of the executive committee, leading the strategic direction of the association, and where you think that has shifted, and especially now as the landscape has obviously changed in light of the pandemic, you know, where does the trajectory put the board of directors?
That's a great question. I would say that what I've learned in my trajectory on the executive committee is that what I'd like the community to be aware of is that you have a board that is very, very involved and is thinking of the impact on the jurisdictions. There is always discussions about impacts of resources. What do the members need? Mm-hmm. What are those topics out there that the jurisdictions are grappling with? What is emerging? What I too have learned is how valuable AMVA is in its position as an organization in this space, in terms of being such a driver of discussion around such important policy discussions. Mm-hmm. That impact every jurisdiction, the associate members. I've also seen the organization and the board grow in its role in governance. Mm-hmm. In terms of identifying where we have risks, where we're willing to take some risks, and then developing strategies on mitigating risks and issues. In terms of how we now move forward, I think the board has an amazing opportunity before it. With COVID-19 and the impact of this pandemic, you know, one of the things that I have seen is that it has forced us to look at different ways of doing things, both as jurisdictions as well as an association. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about the written word crisis in Chinese. It's two symbols. One is danger and the other is opportunity. And I think there is incredible opportunity for us as we move forward to really look at the way in which we interact, the finding new ways in which we connect, looking at certainly at different ways in which we provide services. Mm-hmm. And I think with COVID-19, with so much learning that has been required, honestly, to take place, as we've all kind of grappled with what are the next steps for our jurisdictions, I think ANVA is poised certainly with those same questions. What's next? And I think it's an incredible opportunity to look at new ways, innovative ways to connect people in ways that we haven't before. And I think that is the opportunity. That's also the challenge.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited to see where the board goes, where our association as a whole goes in the next 5 years. I think it's going to be fascinating.
It is. And even though you won't be sitting in that chair seat, we are very excited that hopefully you're not going anywhere anytime soon, and you're still going to be very much a part of this community for quite a while to come.
Hey, I don't know how I couldn't want to be part of this community, honestly, for the rest of my life, just because of the valuable friendships and those relationships have been so key in my life.
Yeah.
But certainly in my role, I still learn so much from all of the jurisdictions each and every time I have the opportunity to interact. And so I'm there. I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, before we wrap up then, you mentioned those relationships. So many people have gotten to know you personally over the years. So I'd be remiss to ask how you and your family are holding up these past few months. I believe you have a brood of teens and preteens in your house.
Yes. I sure do. We are doing great. All things considered, we're doing great. The kiddos start school this week. Like you said, we have four between my husband and I. We have a senior, a junior, a freshman, and a sixth grader, all starting school virtually.
Mm-hmm.
And but everybody's doing great. We certainly look forward, all of us, to the time when everybody can come safely together again. But like I said, all things considered, we're doing great. Thanks for asking.
Of course. And about coming together, so many of us were looking forward to coming to Austin this year and are, very much heartbroken that you cannot host us the way you had planned. And so we will hope for a day where, whether it's in Austin or somewhere else, ANVA is a community that hugs each other when they welcome each other. And so I think it's a good,
yes,
good something to look forward to when we can be back in the same room together.
Yeah. And in Texas, we do a lot of hugging, even on top of the hugging. So, and I will say, I was very disappointed. I would be fibbing if I didn't say I wasn't disappointed that we couldn't host everybody in our capital city of Austin. I do put a plug out there that when it is safe to travel, I would, any of our ANVA family that comes into town, I would love to see you. So I do look forward to a day that I can see and hug my ANVA family again, that's for sure.
I'm sure a lot of people are going to take you up on that offer, Whitney. I really appreciate you taking the time today to chat with us. It's been wonderful having you as chair of our board. I know I speak on the behalf of all 150 of the ANVA staff members that just are so appreciative of your leadership, your guidance, your style, your class. It's no easy task to ask somebody to say, in addition to this really demanding job that you have in your jurisdiction, we want you to volunteer and take on all this additional time to lead a professional association. And everything you have done even before the pandemic and certainly to guide us through these months put us really in that position that you talked about of this opportunity over the next few years. So we are extraordinarily appreciative and thank you for the leadership that you've given us.
Thank you so much, Ian. It has been a true honor to get to know the ANVA staff a bit better during this time. What an incredible group of professionals, and to be able to work with the board and the other jurisdictions that are so incredibly engaged. It has been a true honor for me, and I am so grateful to have had the opportunity. The honor truly is mine.
Well, thank you again, Whitney. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to the AnvaCast. Feel free to reach out to us, reach out to Whitney, and share the AnvaCast with your friends. Let them know how great of a listen it can be. Until next time, everybody, have a great one.
Thank you for joining us for AnvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Entrust DataCard. Visit us at anvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.